Good evening, everyone. How is the group of listeners today? I hope everyone's fine. I took a nice vacation, a long break. Yes, it was good. I appreciated it, and I'm glad to be here today to talk to you about some important things. Correct? All right. So, if you don't know it, you know it. Right now, I'm a woman. I talk about women's issues, the life of a woman, experiences, things that I like to talk about, things that I believe people want to hear, and things that I believe are so important to me as a woman. And sometimes people like, well, what about the men? Oh, we need to talk about the men, like little girls, little mommies, little girls, daddies, little girls, and that squeaky voice. But I'm specifically talking about a woman, the life of a woman. People can talk about whatever they want to talk about on their show, by themselves, with their group. Okay? But it's not a disrespect to talk about a woman, the life, the walk, the career changes, career choices. What is it like to be a woman?
Well, we're leaving out the men and we're hating the men.
Are you feeling sorry for the men? Well, you go over there with the men and you tell them that. You tell the men that you want to talk about them. You get with the men, you group with the men, and you spend time with the men to share your feelings, to share your thoughts. If you want to be in love with him and marry him, if you want to date him, you want to spend the day with him, you want to just be his friend, or you simply just want to talk, go on. No one's stopping you from doing that. But you're confusing me with something else, what you want. With what the... I mean, seriously. You want me to be on your side to listen to what you have to say about men, and you want me to make this a man and a woman thing. But right now, this is the whole truth. Miss Sue, you bringing it to you. You're confusing it with what you want and what you're trying to do. You get what I mean? So I'm confused.
Well, it's for men too.
I was talking about having a 24-hour shelter for women, because women, I see them on the streets. They get raped. They get assaulted. How can a woman fight off a big, strong man? She can try. Men usually, I see men fighting men. Men protecting themselves from men. Men challenging men. But I see women sleeping outdoors on the streets. Victims. Some of them out there with their children. And I think women need that shelter, that safe place, that safe haven, that caring, supportive network.
Well, the men need it too.
Well, then go talk to the men about that, because I'm getting totally confused with what my goals are.
Well, you need a man. You don't like men. You're whining and you're
irritating me with that noise. It's still not about what you want. It's not about your goals. You work on your goals with what you want to do with your life. Didn't your mother and father teach you about setting your goals? Did your mother and father ever talk to you about sitting down and focusing on your career? what you want to be as a woman, as a human being? Did you ever think about your purpose in life, what your priorities are? Are your priorities crossing over into someone else's lane when they are trying to set goals and you're coming over telling them what you think their goals should be? Who are you, their mother? And then women that want to care for these men, they stay stuck with the men, and that's what they want. That's what they want. I have no problem with people that set that are setting their goals and they have their priorities for them over there with them, focusing in on them and on themselves and what they're trying to do. That's not my lane. That's not my concern. My concern is me and what I'm trying to do in life. And people just all over the place telling me, and I'm not saying the whole world is like that, but you know, some women are so, they are nurturers. They hold on to that motherly instinct throughout their life. And they, throughout their careers, they feel as though they must nurture the man. Where is that place in the workplace where she must nurture the man? If that specific nursing career or something maybe is there, I mean, or some kind of like social connection maybe, I don't know. But right here today, I want to talk about women and the oppression of women. When did the oppression of women begin? And how did it start? What is a woman's oppression? And how did we ever get to this point in life now where we are having this discussion? More coming up. Woman's oppression. Wow. What is it? And how do I even explain it? As defined by Webster, gender oppression is unjust or cruel exercise of authority or power. Gender discrimination, a form of gender oppression, is attitudes, conditions, or behaviors that promote stereotyping of social roles based on gender, despite the historical gains that women's rights activists fought for. Yeah, I'm reading from the internet. Wow. Oppression. Cruel, unjust. Because you are a woman, you must accept being treated so cruel, so mean. You must take the abuse. You must take the ridiculing. You must take the harassment. You must take the bullying. Because you are a woman. And oppression is not even the question. Nowhere in the subject when I want to talk to the oppressor, when I feel like I have been oppressed, when I need someone to talk to, seems like the oppressor doesn't give a hoot. Well, then some smart behind acts, well, what did you do? As if the oppression is justified when oppression is still oppression. You cannot change the definition of oppression. You cannot say oppression isn't real when it is a reality and it's right there in front of me. The world can see it. But sometimes people believe that, well, if the woman oppressed, she has everything coming to her. She has no excuse, or she doesn't even have a case. When she is a victim of oppression, she should shut up because she got what she deserved. And it doesn't matter. We don't want to hear anything about it. She deserved it. It's her punishment. She must take it and move on. And don't even speak about it. Don't talk on that subject. Don't even bring the subject up. Because if you were not so mean to other people, they would not be so cruel and downright unjust to you. Although oppression is still oppression, harassment is still harassment. So, what is oppression? Is it retaliation? Is it bullying? Is it paying someone back for what they did? We cannot confuse the two. We're talking about gender discrimination, right? A woman must stay at home and have children, cook and clean. She better not leave that house. She better not work. She better not vote. When she leaves that house, she better just go get the mail and come back in the house. And don't talk to anyone. She better not ask for a raise on that job if she does work. She will never get a promotion. Yeah. Wow. And we're still living in America? Oh. I want to hear more about it. Oppression and women's history. Oppression is the inequitable use of authority, law, or physical force to prevent others from being free or equal. Oppression is a type of injustice. The verb oppress can mean to keep someone down in a social sense, such as an authoritarian government might do in an oppressive society. It can also mean to mentally burden someone, such as with the psychological weight of an oppressive idea. Feminists fight against the oppression of women. Women have been unjustly held back from achieving full equality for much of human history in many societies around the world. Feminist theorists of the 1960s and 1970s looked for new ways to analyze this oppression, often concluding that there were both overt and insidious forces in society that oppressed women. ThoughtCo.com or ThoughtCo.com, however you want to put it. Fighting women's oppression. Women's oppression, where it comes from, and how to fight it. What are the origins of women's oppression, and how do we fight it? These are vital questions to ask in a society where working class women are twice oppressed, both as workers and as women. How liberated are women today? It is often said that sexism is a phenomenon of the past. There are more women in work than ever before, and they are increasingly sexually liberated. But it is also clear to most people that this is not true at all. In the UK, the pay gap between men and women remains at 20%, and women are still expected to carry out the majority of domestic activities, such as cleaning and looking after children. Obviously, the past century has seen many strides for women, as many more have entered into higher education, pursued careers, and rights to abortion and divorce have been gained. However, we must also recognize that women remain an exploited group, and that the form of this exploitation has changed in tandem with changes in the capitalist system. If we consider firstly the issue of women at work, from 1881 to 1951, the percentage of women in work in Britain hovered around the 25% mark. By 1965, 54% of women were classed as economically active. This can be seen as the result of the changing scope of British capitalism, with the opening of new industries and their expansion as a result of the post-war boom. However, it is also important to note that despite there being a greater number of women in work, a significant pay gap remains 27 to 30%, and the majority, 70%, were employed in the precarious service sector. Oh, okay, interesting. Wow. Women's oppression. Oppression in women's history. Wow. All right. So I talked about women's oppression, and I was reading from workers.org. It's a pretty busy article there. Must read it. All right. So I'm going to move on. Fighting women's oppression. Remember, women's oppression, where it comes from, and how to fight it. Marxist.com. Let me slow down. Marxist.com. Yes, that's where I was reading. Marxist.com. Now, when I go to workers.org, it reads, women's oppression. The oppression of women in the 21st century is perhaps more multifaceted and developed than it has been historically. Gains in women's rights have been products of the protracted struggle of women and anti-sexist allies over the centuries. But these gains have not ended the oppression of women. On average, women make about 30% less than what men make for the same job, hours, and skill level. Women of color make even less on average than white women. This evident economic discrimination is just one part of the systemic oppression of women. For centuries, the labor of women has been devalued and exploited through lesser or no wages, unsafe and unregulated working conditions, the non-payment of extensive and valuable domestic work, and being forced to give all wages to one's father or male spouse. The glass ceiling limits placed on the upward mobility of women in the workforce traps women in low-wage industries. Since women are paid less than men but take up the bulk of the domestic work in the home, women are oftentimes trapped into economic dependence on men or are forced to rely on sexist system of economic help. This assistance is very underfunded and does little to aid women in economic need. In scope instances, women are forced to enter into sex work or extra legal system of sexual economic exploitation. Currently, women make up the bulk of the poor and are most affected by economic crisis. This is the feminization of poverty. Women's oppression is evident in the political arena as well. Capitalist politics have historically disenfranchised women by allowing only men to vote and hold public office. The women's suffrage movement of the late 19th and 20th centuries obtained the right to vote for women, but women's roles in politics are often still limited to the appearance-making spouse of a political candidate. Even women who have had some level of success entering the political arena have had to adhere to the roles and expectations of a male-dominated political system. Women are still vastly outnumbered on the Supreme Court and in the U.S. Congress, which for more than 85 years has failed to pass a simple equal rights amendment. The oppression of women is based in the historical status of women as private property and their unequal relationship to men in the institution of family. Legislation upholding the status of women as property still exists today. These laws limit the self-determination of women by placing boundaries on their sexualities and their bodies. Though some reproductive rights like abortion and birth control are legal for most women in the U.S., the right to abortion and birth control are still legally and extra legally restricted to many women, and oftentimes these rights are out of the economic reach of working and poor women. These rights, which were fought for by generations of women and allies, are now under attack. Many states are successfully passing legislation to severely restrict abortion and other methods of birth control. It is hard to see how in this system women could ever obtain true reproductive justice, meaning not just the right to choose to reproduce, but the right to bear children into a society that will ensure that child is well-fed, clothed, and sheltered, and educated. When discussing women's oppression, it is easy for people to ignore the social and cultural manifestations of women's oppression. The cultural manifestations include the sexual degradation and overall sexualization of women in popular culture. The association of women with products that can be bought and sold. The normalization of abusive behavior towards women and the classification of women as intellectually and physically inferior and submissive to men. These aspects of women's cultural oppression are reinforced through popular television programs and commercials, popular music and music videos, pornography, magazines, and other forms of advertisement. Women are stereotyped in the media as sexual objects that men can obtain through monetary or material exchange. These images of women, which are by far the most prevalent images of women in all popular forms of entertainment and advertising, encourage men to mimic these sexist views in their social interactions with women. Women are also encouraged to fit into these stereotypes and discouraged from taking active and independent roles in defining their sexualities, body image, and social interactions. One may ask, when faced with the historical and current oppression of women, was it always like this? The answer is no. The women have been oppressed and exploited for centuries. The sexist hierarchy was not always the case. During the majority of human history, women were not oppressed. In fact, in the old communal society, women were equal to men. In some instances, matriarchal societies existed? It is important to note that in these societies, men were not oppressed by women, but women held a certain social and cultural importance to the family and community that was not based on the exploitation or oppression of men. While the division of labor social roles that men and women fulfilled was different, there was no system of inferiority or superiority based on the division of labor. Not until the emergence of private property and therefore class society did the oppression of women emerge. Since then, women have been oppressed in all forms of class society, including slavery, feudalism, and capitalism. It is easy to conclude that women's oppression is historically based in class oppression and is currently perpetuated by class society. Marxists argue that the absence of women's oppression is pre-private property societies proves that women's oppression is based on the system of private property and is not a natural outgrowth of male dominance over women. Consequently, the abolition of private property will lay the basis for complete liberation of women. Huh. Interesting. Workers.org. Wow. Talks about women's oppression. It's written. Workers' World. Women's oppression on the web. So we still have it. It's still here. Some people are believing that years ago, it wasn't like this. But now it's here. And we're trying to get beyond to a better world. Will we get there? I'll be back.
I wanna be free. I'm going to the ghetto. I'm feeling really happy. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for spending time listening to what I have to say on this day. It was rewarding, and I learned enough just by being here. It was a pleasure reading from the internet my notes, taking the time to want to research, to try to research, to get some more insight and closure. It's important to me because I'm a woman. And some people believe that, you know what, it's not all that bad as long as I have the finer things in life, but I don't have the finer things in life. I don't have the finest things in life. And what do you mean by the finer things in life? Some people believe that material things, gold, silver, diamonds, houses, cars, money is what defines a woman. Is what makes someone happy. Is what matters in this world. But what happens when all of that is gone? What defines a woman at that point? If at all. So in order for a woman to be happy and to ensure that the world understands and believes she is happy, that woman must continue to compete for the finer and finest things in life, for the expensive homes and cars and clothes. And she must maintain that and keep that in order to be happy. So, does that mean that the people that do not have the jewelry, I mean the gold, the silver, the diamonds, the expensive cars, extravagant homes, and six-figure or eight-figure careers, they don't pertain to any type of relationships with happiness? They are not happy. They will never be happy unless they are in that class. Oh, can we look at someone and tell if they're happy or not? Does it really mean looks determine whether someone's happy or not? Huh, I don't know. But I am so excited to really know that I am defined and labeled and I'm called a woman. Why? I guess that means that, you know, I'm distinguished from a man. It's to be able to say, hey, there's a difference. I mean, really, when it comes down to recognize or really understand the difference between a man and a woman. We have to distinguish. We have to set them apart in order to identify them. Wow. Is that why they call me a woman? Do I have to be a woman? Well, look at the world that we're in. They look at us and they believe that, hey, they look at me and they believe that I'm a woman. And if I'm with a man, my brother, my cousin, my uncle, they would probably say that's a man. And that's common. That's a habit. We need to tell the difference between we need to be able to recognize the difference. People say that's life. Get over it. It's the way of the world. So, I'm a woman. Does that bother me? No, it doesn't bother me. But I think what really bothers me is that people think that because I'm a woman, I have to accept the displacement, the ridiculing, the sexual harassment, the trapping and the entrapment, the insignificant threats and comments, the belittling, the discrimination. I need to understand that I'm weaker than a man, that type of mentality, and I will never get as far as a man will ever get in or is because I'm a woman. And I need to understand where my place is and my position is, and I don't need to get out of hand. I need to understand that I need to humble myself beneath the man. Is that the way it goes? I'm so happy. This is 2023. And I look back and I could see over the years, there have been new experiences and people have changed and women are still trying. And I am so glad to be a part of that. Have a great summer. Goodbye, y'all.